12, Exodus chapter number 12. The little cartoon there kind of depicts what we're going to talk about today, and they did a good job capturing perhaps the thought that is took place there in Exodus chapter number 12, where the Bible talks about the Passover in Exodus 12 and about what the Lord would do to the Pharaoh and his people for not letting Moses and the people go. Exodus chapter 12 finds us in verse number 12, verse number 13, and I'd like to read verse number 23, 29, and 30. If you've been with us over the last Sunday, we started a new series called Power in the Blood, and last week we did the introduction of the blood as we talked about Genesis, and today we're going to talk about the blood here in the Passover. And we've entitled the sermon, When I See the Blood, I Will Pass Over You. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, And the blood shall be to you forever a token of the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse number 23 reads, For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Verse number 29 of our text says, And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Verse 30 of our text reads, And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. The Bible teaches here that God told Moses and the people to take some blood and to dip it and take hyssop and dip it into the blood and put it over top of the doorpost. And when God would pass through that night, he said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This morning, we're going to talk about what it takes to have the blood of Christ upon your heart and upon your life, and that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and on our life, God, in the day of judgment, will pass over us and rescue us and take us to heaven to be with him. If you believe that, say amen. You can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. The lights will be back up in just a few moments, but let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, we pray, God, that you would open up our heart and our mind, Lord, to focus our attention upon the Word of God today. Father, I believe perhaps there may be some here today that the blood has never been applied. God, we know, Lord, what stands true in the Old Testament. Lord, it's an Old Testament truth of a New Testament reality that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be upon our heart and upon our life. And when you see the blood, you will pass over us in judgment. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we enter into this Easter celebration, reminded of the fact of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, may we worship you as we ought. And God, may we be thankful today for the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus. May we give you praise and honor and glory. May you fill this place today, God, with your Holy Spirit in such a way that each individual that is here will examine, Lord, their own heart and their own life right now. May they examine their heart and ask themselves, do they know without a shadow of a doubt that they will die and go to heaven? Father, I pray that if they do not know that today, Lord, that you would reveal that truth to them, prick their heart and their mind. May they walk this aisle, receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. And we will thank you and give you praise and honor and glory for all things that are said and done here at Parkway Baptist Temple. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I said last week, and I'll say it again, I believe it's very important for us as believers in Christ to understand the theological ramifications of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that if we don't teach about the blood and we don't preach about the blood, then we will be doing the scriptures an injustice. I believe we need to preach about the blood of Christ. Can I get a witness? Please say amen. And so I believe it's very important that you and I stand upon those principles and the precepts of the teaching of the blood. And I stated last week that in my sermon that today there's many major denominations that were once orthodox in their theology, but it seems like that today they are flowing down what theologians call cultural relativism. Now, basically, cultural relativism is this defined. It is the thought or the thinking that denotes there's no right and there's no wrong in the universe. Cultural relativism teaches that there's absolutely no absolutes, that there is no God, that man is basically the master of his own destiny. We would call it modern day humanism. We are living in a day and age where there are many people who are believing that they are the masters of their own destiny. May I remind you on the authority of the Word of God, you are not the master of your own destiny. The grave is not the common, not the end of all man. There is an eternity in view, and there is someone who is sovereign on the throne, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And so I believe there are many people that are departing away from the truth of the Word of God. And so in order for us to punch a hole right into modern day humanism, I want to consider an Old Testament story today and look at a New Testament truth. A New Testament message that I believe that needs to be preached, expounded on, articulated, exegeted, and expounded upon in every pulpit in America. It's a message from God, and the message from God is this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood upon your heart and on your life, God says, I will pass over you. You see, Exodus chapter number 12 is the story and the birth of the Passover. It's a great study. There are many things that we can look at too this morning. But Exodus chapter 12 is a story that where God has released his people from the hand of Pharaoh. Now, if you know anything about Pharaoh, you'll understand that under the rule of Pharaoh, the people are brought into deep bondage and persecution. As a matter of fact, the scriptures teach in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and there came a cry up unto God by reason of their bondage. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 goes on to say, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse number 9 of the same chapter says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Over and over again, you find in Exodus that God heard the cry of the people of Israel. They were under the taskmaster of Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh was burdening the people of God, beating the people of God. And God's people began to cry out to God, asking for God for deliverance. For over 400 years, the people of God were in bondage under the Pharaohs there in Egypt. There were Pharaohs that rose up that beat them and did not bless them, that persecuted them and did not prosper them. And here the people of God begin to cry out, and they say, God, we need you to deliver us. God's going to turn the tables on Pharaoh. As a matter of fact, when you read the text, the cry of the people will be transferred to a great cry of the Pharaoh in verse number 30. The Bible says, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. God's going to turn the tables on Pharaoh and the people of God. God had heard the cry of the people, but now God says there's going to be a great cry from Pharaoh. God's going to bring a plague. That plague's going to take away all the firstborn, as we have read in our text. And there will be a great cry and much sorrow in the land of Egypt, because God will bring judgment upon them. And the only thing that will help the people to escape is God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, there's a great cry going out in America today. Our children are being aborted. Our children are being confused and brainwashed that homosexuality is all right. And we are living in a
day and age where there's a great cry going out. And I'm telling you that God's wrath, God is getting ready to pour out his wrath upon America and the world because King Jesus is coming. And the only thing that will save your children, the only thing that will save your marriage, the only thing that will save you this morning is when God looks down upon planet Earth, he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord praise and glory in his house. Amen today. God's going to transfer the cry of the people of Israel to a great cry of the king of Pharaoh, of Egypt. And here we need to ask ourselves the question, what events led up to Pharaoh's cry? What brought his tears? As a matter of fact, the better question would be this, why didn't God deliver Pharaoh? Why did God deliver Moses and the people and God did not deliver Pharaoh? When you study the Old Testament, you'll find that Pharaoh is a picture of every sinner who rejects God's salvation, and the only thing that could have saved Pharaoh was the blood of the Lamb. And I'm here to tell you today that consequently, that the only thing that's going to save you today is the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb that I'm referring to, friend, is the one that John the Baptist testified about saying, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and he was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is still the blood. It is still the blood. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? God tells us today, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So this morning, here's what I want to do with the sermon. I want us to notice what God saw in Egypt, contrast to what God saw among the people of God. There was something he seen in Egypt among the Egyptian people, but there was something that he seen among God's people. There's a great contrast that is made. We'll study that contrast, and I pray that God will bless you and encourage you, and you'll examine your own destiny today, and you can walk out of here saying, Brother David, the blood's been applied. And when God sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. And when God's wrath is poured out, he will see the blood, and he will pass over me, and he will lead me and guide me and take me on into heaven to be with him. Can you say amen? This morning, what did God see in Egypt? First of all, God saw in Egypt there living in the darkness of judgment. What God saw in Egypt, God saw Egypt living in the darkness of judgment. When I study the Bible, I find in verse 12 of our text, the Bible says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. God says, I'm coming in the night. That phrase, this night, is a descriptive term how Egypt and the people of God were living. They were living in the darkness of midnight. They had no idea why they were sleeping and slumbering, while they were at ease and at rest, that judgment was coming. I'm here to tell you today, friend, that America today, we are living in the midnight hour. And while we sleep and while we slumber and while we rest and we don't pay attention to the signs of the time, there is coming a time where God will slip in into the midnight hour and the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And all of us that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then on planet Earth for the next 7 years, all hell will break out on planet Earth as the Antichrist is revealed and Satan has his way with humanity until King Jesus mounts up upon a white stallion with his saints with him as he rides from the sky to rescue Israel and put his church back where it belongs. Can you say amen? We are living in the midnight hour. And the Bible says that God was coming in the night. It was descriptive of what was happening among the people of Egypt. They're living in darkness. They're living in depravity. They're not people of the day. They're people of the night. God says, I am coming in the night. If you study the life of Pharaoh, you will find that Pharaoh was a very powerful man. As a matter of fact, historians believe that he was the god and the ruler of the earth. According to historians, they say this, the king of Egypt was considered a god by his subjects. He was the embodiment of the royal falcon god Horus, and from the the fifth dynasty on, he was looked at as the son of the great sun god Re, or you can study out Ra. When he died, he became the god Osiris and joined the other divinities in the afterworld. Theoretically, all the land of Egypt and its products belonged to the Pharaoh, and his word was the law of the land. According to historians Freeman and Chadwick, they say that Pharaoh was the common title of the kings in ancient Egypt. In Egypt, the name means great house. Originally, it was used for the palace of the king, but in the beginning of the Egyptian 18th dynasty, it was applied to the king himself. So here is a man by the name of Pharaoh. He's a wealthy man. The people of Egypt believe that he literally is a god. He's the son of a god. That when he dies, he goes off to be Osiris, who is the god of the underworld and all this and that. And he is worshipped as god. He has authority in the land and he owns everything. And it's unique that his name means great house. The great house of Pharaoh. Ladies and gentlemen, God's going to take Pharaoh, whom what means great house, and the great God of Israel will cause the great house to come crumbling down to the ground as it succumbs to the sovereignty and the majesty of God Almighty. Can you say amen? So here is Egypt. They are living in the darkness of judgment. Pharaoh means great house, and the great God will take down the great house of Egypt. Let me ask you a question this morning. What about your great house? What about your life as it is right now? How is your life standing up against the judgment of God? When God looks down into modern day Egypt, and Egypt is a type of sin and depravity, we're all living in an Egypt, if you will. When God looks at my great house and your great house, what does he see? You see, behind closed doors, we think that God doesn't see and God doesn't hear, but understand, God sees all, God knows all, and God will reveal all one of these days. How is your house standing today? How about your marriage? How about your ministry? How about your membership here as a member of this church? How are you living your life out? How is your life standing up against the judgment of God? Will your life be broken or blessed by the hand of God? Pharaoh's life is getting ready to be broken. But the people of God, they're getting ready to be blessed, all because of the blood that was on the doorpost. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that if the blood of Jesus Christ has not been applied to your heart and your life will be broken. But if the blood has been applied, hallelujah, blessings are on their way. Not just material in nature, I'm talking spiritual in nature. That God will lead you and God will guide you and God will help you every single step of the way. Can you say amen? I'm going to ask you the question, are you living in the night of Egypt? Are you living in this dark night, blinded by the darkness of sin? You see, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 24 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day where the hand of Almighty God is going to sweep down in judgment. The Bible says that the earth will melt with fervent heat. God will reign supreme. And the only thing that will still the hand of God in judgment, the only thing that will hold back the hand of God as it sweeps down in his authority and sovereignty is this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm so happy today that I'm saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God saved me at the age of 12 years old, and it don't matter what happened. It's nuclear war, overtake of our government, a destruction or misery, whatever happens, I know this, the blood's been applied to my heart and my life, and I'm here to tell you, I'll suffer anything at the hand of man, because I know that my reward is waiting for me on the other side of eternity, and God will redeem me, hallelujah, one of these days. Can you say amen? God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When God looked down in Egypt, God seen the people of God, the people living in darkness. He seen them living in the darkness of judgment. But notice in verse number 12, not only are they living in the darkness of judgment, but secondly, God saw Egypt landing in the doom of the judge. Not are they living in the darkness of judgment, but they are landing smack dab in the doom of the judge. Verse number 12, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, And I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. God says here, I'm going to bring Egypt before me, and I am going to have a great cry in verse number 30 that says will happen throughout all of the land. Now here's the question that arises out of my study. Who's going to carry out the judgment over Egypt? Who's going to carry this judgment out? How's it going to take place? And who will carry out the judgment on us? Maybe a better question. Who's going to carry out this judgment? How is God going to go about bringing this judgment of taking each and every individual life? How is God going to bring judgment upon us today in our present age? I want you to look in your text for me, and I want to show you something. I'm going to dispel some Sunday school dogma that has been around for many, many years, and perhaps every one of you may have embraced this and believed this or even said it, but I want you to notice that the text tells us exactly who's going to render the judgment. Follow with me now. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. Listen, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord." Look at me in verse number 13. And the Bible says there, it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Look at verse 23. Follow with me now. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two sides of the post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and to smite you." Verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of cattle." 19 times in 17 verses in Exodus 12, the Lord is mentioned. Understand that the Lord is the main character. The Lord is the main event. The Lord is the main attraction. 19 times out of 17 verses, the Bible never says that it's the angel of death that will pass over. I have grown up in church all my life, and I have heard all of my life about this angel of death. Honey, write it down. There is absolutely no such thing as the angel of death. It wasn't an angel that passed over Egypt. It was God himself that passed over Egypt. God's not sending a messenger to see whether or not the blood's upon your life. It is his eyes that are upon you. It is his face that is gazing upon you. When God looks today, it will not be the face of an angel. It is the majesty of the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is gazing upon America today, that is gazing upon us today. And he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." We allow a lot of religious Sunday school dogma and fairy tales compromise our theology. Understand today, friend, God says, "When I see the blood, Moses." It's God himself that's coming down. The Bible says you will not be destroyed of the destroyer. I believe that destroyer there that he mentions, it's what's called a theophany. It could be the angel of the Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, who is the angel of the Lord?" The angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate existence of the second person of the Trinity, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, he speaks as God, he acts as God, he walks as God, he gives forgiveness and empowers as God. He's even worshiped as God. Well, the New Testament reveals that we're even not to worship angels, but this angel of the Lord is uniquely different from everybody else. And what's unique is he disappears after Bethlehem when Jesus is born. Because, friend, before Bethlehem, when Jesus was born in the manger, he acted out his ministry as the angel of the Lord. And when you study out the word destroyer, it was Jesus Christ himself that was entering into the homes. It was God himself. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, looking out over the sea of humanity, and the very thing that they looked for was not education, it was not environment, and it was not religion. The thing that they looked for was the blood that was over the door of their life. And I'm telling you today, you're not getting to heaven because you're a Baptist. You're not getting to heaven because you're faithful to church on Sunday. You're not going to heaven because you've been baptized in the swimming pool. The only way you're going to heaven, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say amen? Here is the people of God. They're landing right smack dab into the doom of the judge. They're living in the darkness of judgment. Now they have landed into the doom of the judge. God himself is passing through. You say, Pastor David, what did he look like? What happened? What did he look like? What happened that day? Well, you and I may not know what he looked like then, but I can tell you what he looks like now. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verses 12 to verse number 13, his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head he wore many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, John is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the next time he comes, he's not coming, friend, bearing a cross. He's coming bearing a crown. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with great authority and great majesty. Can you say amen? And the world will land smack dab into the doom of the judge. You say, Brother David, how do we know that the Lord is going to judge? John chapter 5, verse number 22. The Bible says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. God one day will allow his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they pierced. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom man mocked, they scoffed, they ridiculed, and they hung him on a cross. It will be Jesus Christ himself who judges the sea of humanity. Somebody may be thinking, well, I'll just live my life my own way. I don't care about all this. I'm just going to do what I want to. You know, I went to a funeral one time, and there was hardly anybody there. It was a funeral in the community, and I knew the folks, and I went by just to stop by and say hello to the family, and I stayed for the funeral. And the song that they played in the funeral home with just a few people there was Elvis's song, I Did It My Way. And I thought, God help. I mean, it was just awful. I thought, you know, that's the way many people want to live their life. I did it my way. Well, you know what? You may be here today, and Elvis's song may be your theme song. You may be saying, Brother David, I don't care what you say about the blood. I don't care what you say about the blessed hope. I don't care what you say about that book that you hold in your hand. I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's fine. You just need to remember, just as Egypt was landing in the doom of the judge, so will you one day. You will stand face to face with God Almighty. You're living in the midnight hour, just like Egypt was. They're living in the darkness of midnight. They're landing into the doom of the judge. Impending wrath and judgment is coming. And Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12 reveals, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Ladies and gentlemen, before the hammer of his judgment falls at the bar of his court in heaven, you need to remind yourself, it's only when the blood is applied will God pass over you. Can you say amen? Are you living in the judgment of God? Do you know today that you're saved? You see, that's how much power there was in the blood. When God seen the blood, he passed right over. You know, I believe when God seen the blood, he was satisfied. I believe that. I believe God was satisfied and the people were sanctified in what they did. That's why it's important. You see, this story is an Old Testament story that reveals a New Testament truth. That's why we sing about the blood. Some would say amen. That's why we preach about the blood. That's why we talk about the blood. That's why we stand on the premise of the theological teaching of the blood. Because God says, when I see it, I will pass over you. So here is Egypt. Here is Pharaoh, the great house, crumbling down by the great God. There was a cry from the people that's turned into a great cry in Egypt. They're living in the darkness of judgment. They have landed in the doom of the judge. But there's one more thing to consider before we go this morning. One more thing to consider that God saw there in Egypt. God saw longing in the deliverance of justice. When God looked down upon the people, God heard their cry, this longing to be delivered by the justice of God. And I believe, friend, that there's a cry that's crying out today. You know, I really believe there are people longing for God's justice to prevail once again. I believe that. I believe there are people who are longing for revival. I'm talking about genuine revival, where God's power is revealed in such a way that God's people are revived, and there's a seriousness about being a Christian. Not just me and Brother Johnny Chansey and Mark Gamble was talking this week. We went to lunch and we were discussing the difference in a Christian and really being a follower of God. And I don't want to be just a Christian. I want to be a follower of God. I want to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want my life to be where God has called it to be. And there's this longing in the deliverance of the justice of God. When God looked down into Egypt, he saw the people of Egypt living in the darkness of judgment. He seen them landing smack dab in the doom of the judge. But when he seen the blood over the doorpost, God seen the longing in the deliverance of justice. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." God was not sending a representative. God was not sending a death angel. God says, "I will execute judgment." The execution of judgment was the longing of the people's heart. You need to understand that. The execution of God's judgment was the longing of the people of God's heart. How they prayed for justice and for mercy. They said, "God, avenge us. God, look down upon us. God, deliver us today." I believe that you and I need to be praying for the execution of God's judgment today. I believe it ought to be the longing of our heart. Because the devil has had his way for too long. Somebody say amen. And you and I ought to be praying for God's justice to prevail. Say, Brother David, how does that happen? I believe God gives us sparks of revival. I believe God gives us glimpses of glory. When somebody gets saved, the Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of God. Presence of the angels. There's rejoicing in heaven. God gives us a little glimpse of glory. We've seen answered prayers. How God delivers somebody from cancer. How God's brought, like, Miss Marilyn back to us safely, and God has watched out over her. And I see Dennis Underwood walking after 31 days in the hospital, standing up on his feet this week and walking down the hospital. I see God answering prayers, and how God gives us glimpses of his power and glimpses of his glory. And I believe there was a people of God, as we see that and we witness it, we get this craving, this insatiable hunger to see more of it and more of it, to get closer and closer to God. But all around us we see abortion. All around us we see wickedness. All around us we see sin prevailing. And I believe the heartbeat and the cry of God's people ought to be this: God, we are praying for you to execute judgment. God, we are praying for your mercy and your glory to rain down upon planet Earth once again. God, revive us again. And I believe, friend, if we prayed that, it would get us very eager to get off our seats and out in the streets telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, we sing, we're standing on the promises, when really we're just sitting on the premises. And we need to be standing on the promises of God and hitting the streets and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when God looked down there to Egypt, he seen the cry of the people of God. And there was a longing for the justice of God. And God said, I will execute judgment because I have heard the cry of the people of God. I don't know about you, friend. I want God to hear our prayers. Can you say amen? And I just wonder what would happen to our church, our families, our marriage, if we long for the deliverance of justice. I wonder how it would change us, what God would do within us if we had this longing for God's justice to prevail, for people to be changed by the preaching and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that judgment one day will come. God's letting us live right here in the midnight hour. It's 11:59 and ticking. God's long suffering is just holding out so you and I can preach and we can reach, pull them out of the fire and bring them into the fold and let them have the blood applied to their heart and their life. Don't you want that for your family? Don't you want it for your friends? How about your neighbors, your coworkers? How about the people that you're around? God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I believe if we prayed for it like the people of God prayed for it, it would radically change our churches. I want you to notice what God gave them as a result. God gave them something, something unique that God gives us. When the blood was applied, God gave the people of Egypt something that they never had before for 400 years. 430 to 450 years, the people of God were living in bondage, and people grew up. They were born into that slavery, and they died in that slavery. Some of them, all they ever seen, they were first and second, third generations, on and on and on, watching their fathers die in slavery, their grandfathers and grandmothers die in slavery, watching their children born in slavery. But God's going to do something when the blood was applied. Something unique that they hadn't seen for 400 years. And I'm here to tell you, when you get saved and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will do something very unique for you that you have never experienced before in your entire life when the blood's applied. You say, Brother Dave, I'm at the edge of my seat. What is it? Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Egypt is living in the night. They're living in the darkness, and here the people are in bondage and in depravity. But verse 17, everything begins to change. The Bible says, ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in the self same day. Here's a contrast of the night, and here's a contrast of the day. For the self same day, I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. Look at verse 51. And it came to pass the self same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. You know what happened to the people of God when the blood was applied? God gave them a brand new morning. It was a brand new day for the people of God. God had put the blood, they had applied the blood, and now the next morning when they woke up, sweet deliverance was on their way. Can you say amen? You know what happened to me and what happened to you? I'm going to preach right now. Somebody say amen. You know what happened to me when I was 12 years old? I was living in the darkness of Egypt. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but when the blood was applied, I woke up the next morning. It was a brand new day, a day for old Dave Samson. God came into my heart. God came into my life. Oh, hallelujah. And he saved me. Can you say amen? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. God saved me and God will save you. God gave me a brand new morning. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things were becoming new. I'm here to tell you today, friend, I still believe it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will change your marriage. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will change you as a member. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will transform you from the inside out. They woke up and the blood was applied, and here they went with their marching orders, Troy. They was marching on out over to the promised land. Every time a person's saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood's applied, God gives them their marching orders and they're walking on over into glory. Friend, don't you want to change your path today? Don't you want to change your path? Why walk into a Christless hell in the blackness of midnight where there's no hope? Why stay on the path where you will be rejected and you'll be cast into a lake of fire for eternity? If the blood's applied to your heart and your life today, God would give you a brand new morning and a brand new path where you are walking out. Peter uses it this way, that God has brought us out of darkness and we have entered into the marvelous light. It's a brand new day for them, and I'm here to tell you, it'll be a brand new day for you. So why don't you come? What's hindering you? What's hindering you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. The message that needs to be preached and taught in our churches and what God is saying today, listen, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Father, thank you for your word.